You're listening to Keeping Connected with the Quran, a series that reminds us of the many beautiful ways the Quran can be a guide, a teacher, and a healer in our lives. Join a rotating cast of insightful hosts and guests featured throughout the week and make the Quran a companion in your day, every day.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quranic Reflections for our final episode in this series. And inshallah ta'ala, we will be finishing off the Keeping Connected with the Quran campaign this coming Friday, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, we're blessed tonight to have with us Dr. Tamara Gray, alhamdulillah, who needs no introduction at all, alhamdulillah. I mean, we've benefited tremendously from her Quran 30 for 30 in Ramadan, and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, we're blessed to have her as a part of our team and just as a member of our community. And I think I'm the only person, Doctora, who pronounces your name right?
Oh, there's a few people who've started pronouncing it right, but you started the trend.
Alhamdulillah. But inshallah ta'ala, as we continue tonight, you know, we've really been trying to extract some of the deeper spiritual meanings of some of these ayat and what they represent. Ayat that you probably read through very quickly and think this just calls you to patience or calls you to pray or calls you to gratitude. But there are subtleties in these verses that can have a major impact in our lives if we pay close enough attention. And alhamdulillah, but I mean, tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be reflecting with Doctora Tamara on these verses in Surah Al-Insan. And we are named an insan because of our naskihi, because of our forgetfulness. And so this is a way to remind ourselves, inshallah ta'ala. And we're going to be reflecting on a few verses towards the end, inshallah. And I will hand it off to Dr. Tamara Gray to get us started, inshallah ta'ala. And then my beloved brother, Sheikh Abdullah Duru, will take it from there and share some reflections as well on those verses, as I will also, inshallah ta'ala. And then we'll have a conversation about them. So, Doctora, tafadli.
Okay, thank you. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salatu as-salamu ala khatun anbiya Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala al-ishabi ajma'in. I am drawn to these verses because I think they draw a frame for us as human beings in our life of what our life as worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the creation of God, of the way we should be living and the attitude we should have in this life of ours. And I want to start with verse 24. فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تُطِعْ مِنْهُمْ آثِمًا أَوْ كَفُورًا. This in English is, be patient for the decision of your Lord and do not obey from among them a sinner or ungrateful disbeliever. Now, disbeliever is an addition in there from the translator. I want the point here that I want to sort of settle on or talk about for a minute is fasbir. The term sabr, I spent a long time looking for what that might be in translation. I do believe that I finally found it, and it is fortitude. Fortitude is a much better word in English for the term sabr than patience. When we say patience, we think about waiting. We think about patiently waiting for something. And this is not what sabr is about. Sabr is an action. Sabr is an attitude and an action that come together that teach us how to live our lives. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Have this fortitude. Have sabr for the, translated here as for the decision of your Lord. لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Now some of the mufassirin say that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the verse before, إِنَّ نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ تَنْزِيلًا. Indeed, it is we who have sent down to you the Qur'an progressively in this translation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Qur'an, and as believers, we believe in the Qur'an, and we are taking the Qur'an to our lives in the same way, we have to have sabr with the qada and qadr of our lives, with that which is coming to us of the, that which we have no decision upon and the destiny, if you will, of our lives, the things that are happening to us and things that are happening around us. And in times like today, where we are facing great public pain, as well as I imagine great personal pain for many people, there are all sorts of difficulties, right? All different kinds of grief right now in the world. This need for sabr becomes very, very important. We need to be patient with the wisdom, if you will, of our Lord, with the decision of our Lord. And often I'm asked, how do we cultivate that? How do we cultivate that type of attitude? Because sabr is an attitude and an action. We cultivate it through the next verses. So the first part, the first thing we do is connected to this verse, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that in order to cultivate sabr, we want to make sure لَا تُطِعْ مِنْهُمْ آثِمًا أَوْ كَفُورًا, that we're not going to obey, we're not going to be loyal to those who are calling us to being away from the path that will bring us joy and faith and happiness. Who calls us away from that? Those who are grounded in their own sin, grounded in their own distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grounded in their inability to see khair and goodness. They're grounded in their inability to see khair and goodness, and instead their denial of the truth of God's blessings and the truth of God's message. So as we walk in this life and we work to become the people that we want to be, we're starting with sabr. We want to cultivate sabr. First of all, we have to remember that we have to be careful who we take on as our companions in suhba. We have to be careful who we take on as companions around us, because those are the people we listen to. We listen to the people around us. We listen to our friends. We listen to our teachers. We listen to our family of believers. So we want to make sure that as we look around, we see those who are calling us and reminding us and comforting us in their words, not those who pull us, who turn our heads around and turn us the wrong way and make us increase our frustration, increase our pain, increase our deep feeling in the heart that is distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is in distance that we can't connect to sabr. But then we have the next two verses, which are really quite direct, clear, clear, hashtag clear is kind, clear words about how we are to live so that we can cultivate and become the person that we need to be. وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكَ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Now, dhikr is one of the most difficult words to translate, in my opinion. I know we translate it as remembrance or mentioning, but in English, remembrance is something so ridiculously distant from what dhikr is. Remembrance is something you do at a memorial service. Remembrance is something you do once when you're remembering something that happened. Dhikr, or the dhikr of God's name, is intentional presence. It's intentional presence with God. It's intentionally deciding that I am going to repeat names of God or Allah's name or phrases of praise or any other type of words or phrases that glorify, seek forgiveness, praise God, that train my heart to focus on God, and instead of being a heart that is attached to worldly things, becomes a heart that is attached to God. And in that attachment, I become someone who can be of the people of sabr. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying that our dhikr should happen bukratan wa asila. Bukra is the term for morning, in the early morning. That early morning time where we're not disturbed by, hopefully not too disturbed by WhatsApps and messages and emails, and we're not tempted to be distracted by YouTube and other screen callings. But we're sitting quietly and in a determined manner, mentioning the name of our Lord, saying La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, or Subhanallah, 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 or Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, whatever it is that you choose to say, preferably on a regular basis. But that when that happens daily, morning and evening, for a period of time, that this will make changes in our heart. And then the next verse, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ, and of the night, فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ وَسَبِّحْهُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا. This verse is a verse that I mentioned in the article that I wrote for Yaqeen about tahajjud. And if you haven't read it, I send you back to read it, because the prayer of tahajjud is the prayer that is the life-changing keystone habit of the believer. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us to become of the people of the night. And I have a funny little story. When my daughter was 4 years old, we were in a car in front of a billboard, and it was a billboard for a nightclub. And she was 4 years old, and she said, Mama, what does nightlife mean? Because she was reading. And I hemmed and hawed and stumbled and said, well, it's nightlife is when you get up at night with your mama and she's praying and you eat hot chocolate and you drink hot chocolate and you sit next to her and you remember Allah while she's praying. She was only four. And she said, oh, Mama, I want nightlife. I said, I was like, oh my God, what have I done? Don't say that to your grandparents. Don't say that to anybody else. But Ahya al-Layl, you know, the Arabic term, Ahya al-Layl, to bring life to the night. And bringing life to the night is recognizing that the night is the time for sujood. Now, the Mufassirin of Quran say that the layl here is part of remembering that that is the time of submission. That is the time and place of submission. That when we get up and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night, that is a time when we are submitted to our Lord. And it is also a time where we are less inclined to hypocrisy, because people don't see us at that time of night in prayer. And of course, and there are others who remind us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying fasjud lahu, that this is an increase in sujood, an increase in sujood, an increase in sujood. So it is either an increase in the length of sujood or an increase in the number of times that we make sujood at night. But when we look at the end of that phrase, of that verse, وَسَبِّحْهُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا, this is a long part of the night. So here, it's a real call to both, in these two verses together, it's a call to be patient with prayer, to have fortitude with worship. We have different types of prayer in Islam. We have dhikr, the remembrance of God, salah, the ritual prayer, and dua. It isn't easy to become a person of prayer, to have khushu' and presence in prayer, to have dhikr in your prayer. It isn't easy to be a person of tahajjud. You have to make a decision to get out of bed when it's difficult, day in and day out. It isn't easy to become a person of dhikr. You have to decide to sit down and remember Allah, even though there are a thousand distractions. And if you don't have distractions, shaitan will come and find distractions for you. So it is a true act of sabr to be patient with the hukum, if you will, the rulings of our Lord, the calling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling upon us to worship God in the morning, in the evening, and at night. The daytime is for our work, part of the night is for our sleep, and the rest of those, the beginning of the day and the end of the day is for the remembrance of Allah, and the night is for specifically praying for a good period of time so that we settle ourselves into becoming people of prayer and worship. And I really believe that if we are to embrace the hardship of this time in a healthy way and not be lost to the cyclone of issues and problems and distractions and pain, we have to ground ourselves in the sabr of having enough patience and fortitude to become people of worship, not to just expect it to rain down upon us suddenly, like a pill that we might take. Oh, yay, I'm now a person of worship. So I'll hand it off to you, Sheikh Abdullah.
Barakallahu feekum. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man wala amma ba'd. MashaAllah, that was very nice. MashaAllah, especially... Now, I'm not going to forget the nightlife explanation from my youth, inshallah. It's very nice, mashallah. It's exactly, you know, what she mentioned, mashallah, about the importance of fortitude. And I like how she uses that word. It's very well contemplated, being that one should try to maintain that disciplined approach into showing their remembrance or their form of continuous thoughtfulness of God's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah gives the examples here, as was mentioned in the verses that she just mentioned, when it was, to have fortitude and to also have that type of continuous thoughtfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then also show that by praying continuously and the middle of the night, the long hours of the night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions after that, after giving you a realistic approach on how to have fortitude, He reminds you of the people that He does not want you to follow. He gives characteristics of them. إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ يُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَ وَيَذَرُونَ وَرَاءَهُمْ يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا. So two things. Those people, إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ, and as the ulama tafsir have mentioned, that ha'ula'i are the disbelievers of the Quraysh, or the people that voluntarily denied the favors of Allah, primarily the aspect of creation and bringing them into this earth and having the correct or adequate or the required response, actually, which is to worship Him by Himself to the best of their ability. And that's what he means by ha'ula'i, that verily they, yuhibbun al-ajila, they love ajila. And ajila means the rush or the desired life of that which is immediate, right? The instant gratification or the immediate things of worship by filling their shahawat and shubahat, their desires and maybe some misunderstandings and misconceptions that may have befallen them in regards to their polytheistic practices of saying that God is like His creation or totally denying the presence of a deity. But in this case, you know, when it comes to the mushrikun of the Quraysh, during the time of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, those that voluntarily disbelieved by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like His creation and even disbelieving in the resurrection. So firstly, he says, yuhibbun al-ajla, that they love the immediate desires. And that's what's very important for the Muslim. A sign of fortitude is to not have the characteristic of quote-unquote obeying your thirst at that moment. The Muslim stops and looks and says, okay, how is this beneficial for me in this life, but also in the next? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the characteristics of those that He does not want you to resemble. And He's showing you this throughout the Quran. Allah gives the awsaf. He gives the characteristics of those people that He wishes for you not to be like or resemble or to aspire to be. And that's why he mentions earlier, as he mentions, لَا تُطِعْ مِنْهُمْ آثِمًا أَوْ كَفُورًا. Do not obey those that have voluntarily disbelieved or voluntarily disobeyed Allah on a consistent basis, knowingly, and those that have denied His favors. That's when he mentions this characteristic that they love the immediate life, or they love the ajila. وَيَذَرُونَ وَرَاءَهُمْ يَوْمًا ثَقِيلًا. Okay, so the first thing is they love this instant gratification. They love to indulge upon that which fulfills their desires. Now, just to stop here, usually a lot of times when we hear the word of someone fulfilling their desires, we have to remember that the sharia is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And that's what she mentioned earlier, فَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ, يعني, to have a fortitude with the legislation or what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen within His predestination from what He puts in front of you. And from that which He has placed in front of you is this legislation of the sharia, okay? Because when we say al-hukum, it means al-qatr. It means something that is definite. So what Allah has placed in front of you as a means of showing gratitude towards Him, He's giving you the blueprint on how to aspire to live your life. And those that do not follow that blueprint can either be of following their desires or some misunderstanding and misconception that they continue to indulge upon. So when the Muslim understands that, they know that Allah has given me this wiring, if you will, of the fitrah, okay, of this natural inclination, these natural characteristics He has given me, they're ingrained within me. One characteristic of that is that I do have desires to be loved, to be honored, to be respected. I have desires and those characteristics, if I don't monitor them, and if I don't have some type of guide to steer them correctly, then it can be something that is not beautified and aligned. And that's where the hukm rabbika, the sharia, has come to beautify it and align it. That fitrah, that of desires that we have. So it's not saying totally disregard your desires. No, it's acknowledge those desires and use those desires to steer you on the sirat al-mustaqim. So that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, do not be of those that voluntarily divert from their desires, taking every fulfillment of this dunya at a glance, and not even taking into consideration yawman taqila. And that's what we said, yadharuna. And yadharun is to put behind him, yawman taqila, that heavy weighted day. Now taqila means heavy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here, as scholars mention, the yawm al-qiyamah, that day that you will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will be held accountable for everything that you've done. And when we say held accountable, we don't mean, okay, you're going to get in trouble. No, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-adl, that whatever good that you have done, the intention that you had and you didn't fulfill it, you'll be rewarded for it, inshallah. The bad things that you've done and you may have been neglectful of it and you fulfilled the desire, He, Ar-Rahman, has the decision and choice to forgive you or may hold you accountable for that. That we do not know. That's why we should hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consistently. And that hope is built off the foundation of love and desire for His mercy and all of His names and beautiful, beautiful attributes. So He's showing here that those people, they leave off that day of judgment. They don't regard it. They don't even believe that it will be that day that they will be held accountable for their continuation and their indulgence upon fulfilling their desires, their desires of being liked by others, or their desires of following something that generations on in, they know is ultimately wrong when the truth has come to them, but it is a fulfilling something that they want to fulfill within this immediate life of that which is tangible and not totally relying on the one that is intangible, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what I want to capitalize on here, of being those that really have, as the Shaykh mentioned, فَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ, and that is a sign of the fortitude as well, as he mentioned, the dhikr, and then also the praying, but also not taking on those characteristics of those that do not have those characteristics of following their immediate desires and totally disregarding accountability in the future, primarily of Yawm al-Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from them. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu feekum, Doktora and Sheikh Abdullah. Subhanallah, a few things came to mind, and I think it's always good to bring it all back in terms of the surah, how it starts, how it ends. It's very interesting because as you think about fortitude and you think about those verses that you just left off on, Sheikh Abdullah, what would cause a person to not wake up at night and pray? One of the things is that the next day I'd be tired, I'd be sluggish, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, that's not the heavy day you should be worrying about. You should be worrying about Yawman Thaqila, the day of judgment. So, you know, don't think that, if you were to wake up and pray at night, that it was going to take away from your day, but if you sleep through the night and you neglect these moments that are opportunities to draw close to your Creator, then the day of judgment becomes a heavier day for you. Wasjud waqtarib, right? So draw closer. The more you prostrate, the closer you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Rabi' ibn Ka'b al-Aslami radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he should support him in his case if he wants to be a companion of the Prophet ﷺ, بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ, with the increase in prostration, the increase in sajda at night. And what I think is most powerful is to actually pull back to the very beginning of the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. that we guided him to the path, and a person is either shakir, and I'm not going to get too much into the Arabic of this, it's ism fa'al, right? He's either grateful or kafura, or ungrateful, بصيغة المبالغة, just extremely ungrateful, right? So a person could either be shakiran, grateful, or extremely ungrateful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. So here Allah is saying that He has given everyone the potential to be guided. If they open their eyes and if they want to be guided, they can be guided. If a person seeks guidance, Allah will certainly guide them, and Allah has given them the signs on the way and everything that they need to be guided and then to be steadfast on that path of guidance. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in another part of the Quran, وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Very few of my servants are amongst the grateful. Now I want to connect this to Qiyam, to this imagery that was beautifully given to us by Dr. Tamra, of fortitude. Sabr, as the Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah says, is gratitude in times of hardship, or that's how it manifests. There are different types of sabr. And really, when a person is going through hardship, they're able to keep in perspective what they have so that they're able to bear in a more gracious way what they have lost, right? And so it's gratitude. It's still maintaining that perspective. And the connection between shukr and worship, and particularly this type of worship, which is a person that would, fight with themselves, right? Tatajafa junubuhum an al-madajir, right? You're fighting your bed, fighting with the comfort of your bed, fighting with your alarm clock, trying to get out of that sleep so that you could call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yad'un rabbahum khawfan wa tama'a, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hope and in fear. So there's a connection between the gratitude of a person and worship as a whole, because what was Iblis's challenge? That you will find that the majority of these children of Adam will not be grateful to you. And if I can disconnect them from gratitude, I can disconnect them from worship. Now I want you to stay with me with a beautiful connection here. If Iblis can disconnect us from gratitude, he can disconnect us from worship as a whole. And gratitude is of different quantities, just as worship is of different quality and different quantities. There is a spectrum of gratitude and there is a spectrum of worship. Now, a person should be grateful enough, at least you fulfill the obligations to your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that he's given you, right? At least have that level of gratitude. When Allah says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ, few of my servants will be amongst those who are truly grateful. I want you to go to that image of the Prophet ﷺ praying Qiyam al-Layl, to a point that even a great worshipper like Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha sees it and says, Ya Rasulullah, Allah has forgiven your sins, past, present, future. Do you really need to worship to the point that your feet will swell? Do you really need to go to that extent, O Messenger of Allah? And what is the answer of the Prophet ﷺ? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant? Also, بصيغة المبالغة, right? So with that, should I not be an extremely grateful servant? Someone who is particularly grateful, who's distinguished in their gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, this isn't just about being forgiven for sins. This is about showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how few people stand up and call upon their Lord at night. Like, let's think about this for a moment. How few are the people that actually observe Qiyam al-Layl regularly? How qaleel are those people that stand up at night and call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. There are very few people that show that distinguished gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to me, it's just very beautiful that the beginning of the surah starts off with, these two paths, right? And at the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't listen to who? Athiman aw kafura. Ignore that person. Now Allah is talking to you, the person who strives to be a distinguished insan. Someone who is not forgetful, as the name suggests, but someone who is instead alert and grateful. Don't listen to those people. Don't let them guide you astray, all right? Lead you astray. Focus on that path of guidance and gratitude and exemplify, manifest the greatest form of gratitude, which is to stand up and call upon your Lord at night, which so few people do. And the more that you do that, the more you become like your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most grateful abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more that you do that, the closer you become to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the highest level of paradise with the night time, Jannatul Firdaus. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. So it's just very beautiful how it's like at this point, the muhatab, we're being spoken to if we consider ourselves amongst those that seek to be from ash-shakirin, those that are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what a grateful person looks like. They embody dhikr in every way of their lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us ahlul dhikr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of dhikr and people of shukr and people of fortitude and all of these lofty qualities. Allahumma ameen. Dr. Tamara, if, inshallah ta'ala, if you want to share anything else, inshallah ta'ala, with us.
I'm just thinking about the connection between shukr and dhikr, that there's a real connection there. We have the Prophet ﷺ with Mu'az ibn Jabal talking about giving him the dua that so many of us say after our prayers. Allahumma shu. And then also, and I'm thinking about that connection and how there is a connection between becoming of the status of the people of shukr, which is the mirrored opposite of the people of intense lack of shukr. I like, you know, that intensity of it. We need to recognize there is an intensity, that either we are people of shukr and we recognize the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, of course there are levels, or we're people that are in denial, and in denial is in emptiness, and dhikr is the road to that fulfillment of becoming of people that, when we're thinking of shukr, really pushing forward to being not just thankful. Sometimes I think when we talk about shukr, people are like, yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, I'm thankful for the leaves and I'm thankful for Allah's blessings. And yeah, okay, I have a cupboard full of food and yeah. But there are a myriad of things to be grateful for. And even there is that level of being grateful for the things that we dislike. And when we can get to that place, that we are even grateful for the things that we dislike, that's when we're going to start learning. Well, we learn lessons all through our lives, but there are very special lessons to be learned in that place of the great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. And when we spend time in dhikr, when we are capable of spending time in dhikr, we can approach that state of finding positivity in all parts of our lives, because if we're fully connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can see positivity even in that which is difficult, even in that which is hard. And this is a skill very, very necessary for today and for the future generations as we get to more and more difficult times going forward.
Barakallahu fiki. Jazakumullah khair. Sheikh Abdullah.
No, just mashallah, just remembering the whole concept of dhikr and shukr and how they intertwine. I mean, once you have that continuous, dhikr, that's the key to having shukr. Because once you start to ponder and think about something, what is the result of that thought and of that recollection that leads to being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like Sheikha mentioned, even in things that we dislike, when you start to think about something you dislike, you're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you show some form of gratitude and manifest it in different ways. And that's why, subhanAllah, the Quran is even called a dhikr. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. So what are we doing to embark upon, you know, encountering those elements of dhikr that will allow us to think, recollect, and then to have gratitude, to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakumullah khairan. I'm grateful to both of you for your beautiful insights tonight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you both. And grateful to the audience as well, who have tuned in for this entire Keeping Connected with the Qur'an. And of course, almost all of you were also part of Qur'an 30 for 30. Jazakumullahu khairan. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue with these last few nights of this month that we've had of reflecting on the Quran nightly, and inshallah ta'ala, we will move on to another subject in the night ta'ala. But I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal allow this to be a testimony for us. And the beautiful dua, Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik, that Dr. Tamra was talking about. May Allah enable us to properly remember Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to properly thank Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to excel in our worship collectively, individually, in private and in public. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow us to be from the people of Qiyam, from the people of Dhikr, from the people of Shukr, from the people of Sabr. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll see you all on Friday for Quranic Healing, and with the night ta'ala, we'll see you for the next part of this. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This podcast was brought to you by Yaqeen Institute for Islamic Research, dismantling doubts and nurturing conviction, one truth at a time. Tune in tomorrow for the next episode on Quranic Themes and subscribe to this series. If you like this episode, you'll love our other content. Visit yaqeeninstitute.org or download our app from the App Store. Until next time, this has been Keeping Connected.